We're talking with Katie Cox. She is Executive Director of the Kinnexu Land Trust. Katie, thanks for taking time to talk with us.
Chris, thank you for having me.
So you have an event coming up. It's called a Community Conversation, How Workforce Housing Can Be Delivered Through Collaboration with Community Land Trust. So the conversation here is going to be about housing and ideas to handle housing and this upcoming event. That's going to be on January 9th.
June 9th.
It starts with J.
It starts with J.
So close.
And it might feel like January still.
Really, exactly. we're going to jump into that upcoming event, but let's backtrack just a bit here in case we have a listener out there who's not familiar with your group. Who and what is the Kinnexu Land Trust?
Yes. So at the heart of our work, Kinnexu Land Trust started almost 20 years ago. Here, and we serve Bonner County, Boundary County, and Sanders County, Montana. And the core of our work is in conservation, and in particularly in working with private landowners who make a voluntary choice to put their land in conservation through what we call a conservation agreement. And so that's the foundation of our work, but our work is much more broad than that, because a very missional part of our work is connecting people with the land. So when you hear about Kinnexu Land Trust, you might hear about us working with Lake Pendere School District. We work in the schools. We have a director of education who this last year worked with over 850 children outside in nature. We have an amazing summer camp. That's part of our education work. Right now, we're rewilding play yards with our local schools.
Where do they do these things? We should mention that.
Yeah, we should mention that. Part of our work is that we are also landowners that have land that is open to the public. People in Sandpoint and the towns around Sandpoint might know Pine Street Woods, which is one of the properties that Kinnexu Land Trust owns. That we purchased it in order to help break down the barriers that keep people from experiencing the outdoors. Pine Street Woods has a myriad of trails, and it's connected to two other amazing properties, Sherwood Forest and VTT, which are also conservation properties with Kinnexu Land Trust. And in the winter, you can Nordic ski there. And so, in just right now, we're starting to work on a campaign to buy the historic Sled Hill, which is also connected to Pine Street Woods. So we have that property. We have another property out on the Montana-Idaho border called Cabinet View Nature Area. So we are also landowners, along with our conservation work, along with supporting our community. This summer, we're working in partnership with Food for Our Children and the Food Bank to do provide summer lunches for kids. So we're out in the community, mm-hmm. just really trying to focus on how do we solve community challenges.
So you're partnering with Project 7B to put on this community conversation next Thursday, June 9th. Mm-hmm. Project 7B couldn't be with us today, but who are those guys?
Yes, so Project 7B is an active group in our community that helps to sort of keep our very quickly developing community and the sort of the land use that guides that development. They really try to keep it in check and try to work with our municipalities on how to have how to grow smartly. And so that's really what 7B's Project 7B's focus is making sure that when we're making decisions about where to build and how to build, that we're making smart decisions not only for now but far into our future. So they're an amazing advocacy group for making sure that the things that brought us all here, or the reasons why we grew up here and decided to stay here, that magic that is the place we live, that we're able to hold on to it as we experience this pressure of growth, which we're going to experience.
Which we are currently experiencing, mm-hmm. some would say.
Yes.
Okay, so the two groups are putting together this community conversation. And the question you're posing is, can land trusts and housing trusts help us create an affordable housing solution? I want to try to get to the answer to that question here in a moment, but give us your take on the situation report. Mm-hmm. Housing costs here to either buy a place or rent a place have shot up, especially since the pandemic began and changed a lot of things. How do you size up housing right now for local people, the local workforce?
I think we've all heard those stories. It's we have people leaving because they can't afford to rent. They certainly can't afford to buy. Our median house price is up over 500,000, whereas, you know, it was under 300,000, you know, pre-pandemic. We have people moving here in droves, I think. We feel the sense of that. And so, and we have this situation where we have needs for a workforce to be here to provide all those services, yet we don't have places for them to be able to buy affordably. And so that's part of the, so it, some people would ask, why is the land trust getting involved in housing? And part of being that Project 7B smart growth is making sure that we have places for people to live so that somebody doesn't have to drive 30 miles up the road towards Naples or Bonner's Ferry and get 5 acres because they can buy that way more reasonably than they can buy a house in Sandpoint. If we're doing, if we're causing that kind of commuting to have to happen in order to live and work in Sandpoint, and we've heard this is the same problem other large other small resort towns in the rural West are experiencing. You've heard of the Jackson Holes, where people have to live on the other side of the mountain in Driggs. How do we stop that from happening? Because if people are having to leave to buy acreage in order to be able to have an affordable place to live, then we're fracturing the landscape. We're not taking care of our conservation priorities. We're not taking care of that wildlife habitat, the clean water. So how do we as a land trust that already has these skills around land purchasing and holding land, how can we use those skills in order to help people be able to live and work and walk close in and have that affordable choice for housing? And so that's the housing crisis. I feel like that we have a part to play at Kinnexu Land Trust in order to have a place for people to live that's close in. And so we don't have to be fracturing the landscape by, you know, having subdivisions way far out where there's not the services that, you know, the more robust services.
So describe how that kind of trust would work. I think they're called community trusts in other places. In your title, you call it a housing trust.
Yeah, oftentimes, so they are called, I believe most of them started back on the East Coast. Vermont has a robust, Michael Brown comes from Vermont. He's with Burlington.
One of the speakers at the community conversation.
He's with Burlington Associates. So it really was a movement that started back East, community land trusts. The issue being that, and why some people have moved towards housing trusts is because people get them confused with land trusts. So here we have an amazing opportunity to be your land trust, also tackling the housing issue. And there's a land trust actually in Athens, Georgia, that does the same thing. They do the conservation work and they do the housing work. You can see it's also over in the Seattle area. They're starting to tackle it, and it makes a lot of sense. So what happens is you ideally get a gift of land, or somehow donors purchase land and give it to the land trust. Then you hold that land. You put houses on top of it. The individual has a 99-year lease, but they do not own the land. The land trust owns the land. They own the house, and it's very unique. They own the house. They can receive equity in the house. Usually that equity is a set amount, because what you're trying to do is you're trying to keep the cost low. You're trying to make sure that they're able to buy low, and then the next person is able to buy low. But you want them to get equity, because the idea is, after a number of years, they have the ability to go out and buy market rate housing. And then that house then becomes available for somebody else. So the land is held by the land trust. That allows you to take the price of the land out of the price of the house. So our goal is to hit that that income, so 80% to 120% AMI, which is that workforce housing. You could say it from 185 to 325 for a final house price, one bedroom to three bedroom. That's the number we will try to hit in order to make sure that people that live here, love it here, work here, support our local economy. They have a way to live here as well. So,
So do local governments in some of these other communities provide money or land for these kind of trusts?
Yeah, there are some states where and some cities that have have funding to help support the trusts. I'm trying to think of one more locally that there's the Metau Housing Trust in the Metau Valley. There's of people and land in the Orcas Island. There's Community Land Trust down in Jackson Hole. Next week I'm going down to Blaine County to visit the Blaine County Housing Trust down there. And so we're very curious to see all the different ways that community land trusts can make it work and what partnerships are important. We find, in terms of partnerships, this talk wouldn't happen without the help of the Bonner County Human Rights Task Force, who is paying to bring our speaker here. We have a great relationship with Bonner County Housing Agency, and then as well, obviously, Project 7B. So it's partnership, it's collaboration that can get these things done in cities. And that's how we love to work at Kinnexie Land Trust. We love to work in partnership to try to solve community challenges together.
Okay. I mentioned that the community conversation is June 9th. It's from 3 to 5 p.m. It's going to be in the Columbia Bank Community Room there right downtown. And again, sponsored by Kinnexie Land Trust and Project 7B, Bonner County Human Rights Task Force is providing support for this. One of your panelists is Michael Brown, who you just mentioned, and he's an expert on community land trusts. Tell us a little bit more about, who he is and, what he's going to contribute to the conversation here.
Yeah, and Michael's going to be able to, some of those questions we just talked about, like how do those partnerships work, he's going to have a lot of He's a wealth of knowledge. He's worked for Burlington Associates for the past 40 years. He's helped establish and set up community land trusts all over the country. He actually recently in the last 3 years relocated to Bozeman, Montana, because he was actually working with Bozeman, helping them to set up a community land trust. As you can imagine, Bozeman's a lot like us in terms of this influx of people and the prices going escalating. And so since moving there, has helped establish the Headwaters Community Housing Trust. And if you're interested in sort of who Michael Brown is and what kind of work they do, that's a great website to look up, and as well as bridgerview.org, which is their first project that they're doing in Bozeman, which is at Story Mill Brook Park. And it's going to have 64 houses, 32 of them market rate, 32 of them community land trust houses. So not only his 40 years of experience helping to advise organizations just like Kinnexie Land Trust in how to set up the governance structure of this, how to do the fundraising, how to work with banks, in order to make sure that people in your community can get the loans, because it is a unique way of doing of purchasing a home. He'll be able to talk through all of these questions and really help our community understand, is this a good solution for Sandpoint and the surrounding towns?
Okay, I mentioned this again. So it's a community conversation, how workforce housing can be delivered through collaboration with community land trusts. It's Thursday, June 9th from 3 to 5 p.m. at the Columbia Bank Community Room. Along with Michael Brown, there's going to be a panel of speakers, including yourself, Katie Cox, as well as Pend'Oreille City Community Development Director Eric Brubaker. It's going to be facilitated by Lisa Gerber, a Big Leap creative. And I guess my last question for you before we run out of time here is, so what do you want to get out of this event? What do you hope happens?
I hope that our community comes out for this conversation and our community is really interested in listening and figuring out what questions we need to ask as a community. And after the panelists' presentation, we'll have a round table where we hope to get our community into small groups to really think about the, what are the advantages and disadvantages of this model? What are some ideas? What are creative solutions? So that we can start really solving some of these problems together. And so my hope is just for that discourse and that dialogue, and to be able to talk as a community about how do we go about accomplishing this, and setting a path and a direction to really help us solve this challenging problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, Katie Cox, Executive Director of Kinnickswee Land Trust, thanks for giving us this information download. People can find out more information if they want to see details, I assume, on the website, kinnickswee.org. Yep. It'll also be in the community calendars on krfy.org and Sandpoint Online. So people can check out more information there. But again, it's June 9th, 3 to 5 p.m. at the Columbia Bank Community Room. Katie, thanks for talking with us.
Thank you, Chris, for having me.